was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls strings and makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Behold that pale horse. By the way, that is Charlie Daniels, Behold a Pale Horse, and I think it's an appropriate song for these times. Boy, I tell you, very appropriate. We're back, Resurrect Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio Broadcast, RTR Truth Media Reloaded. I'm your host, Tom Lacavera-Stewart, joined by Laurie Anderson, Bruce Ray Riggs, and Rudy Davis, Texas 101, Chris Cave. Boy, we have a full house tonight. It's amazing how God works when he brings us all together to stand for a righteous man, and I do believe with all my heart and soul that Schaefer Cox, Francis Schaefer Cox, we are with you tonight. And I'd like to take a moment in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please be with us tonight. Please shine your light and truth into the darkness. Please be with our brother in prison right now. Let him know that he's not alone. Let him know that we are praying for him. Let him know that we are standing by him. Let him know that we believe in him. Pick his heart up. Give him strength and give him the energy that he needs to fight back against this. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Whew. I tell you, it gets me right in the throat. It makes me mad. You know, and sometimes I find myself at a loss for words. And I would like to, tonight, share with our audience more of Schaefer's words. Mike, I sent you a link, the rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com link, and in that link is a speech that Schaefer Cox gave. It's the one that probably fired him up and got him in trouble. If you could bring that up and let me know when it's ready, I'd appreciate it. Chris Cave, I believe he's with us as well. I don't think that he's had an opportunity to weigh in. Chris, are you with me? Well, he's probably there, but
I am here.
5 seconds ago. There he is. Chris, I wanted to give you an opportunity to weigh in on the Schaefer Cox situation. I know that you're, out of all people out there, you're probably aware of it too.
Well, actually, I wasn't as aware of Schaefer Cox's situation until I had listened to what you put forward previously, and your guest also, very knowledgeable and competent. But it occurs to me, because I'm experiencing the same sort of terrorism by the government. In fact, you were searching for a quotation earlier, and that's, when the government fears the people, we have liberty, and when the people fear the government, we have tyranny. And this is what we're seeing. Amen. Exactly. What we're really observing is there is a secret bar hit list, and it's being carried out through all the federal judiciary and the states and the counties. The bar is a big gang here in America, mafiosos. And they have absolutely are running the same kind of hit list on patriots that Lois Lerner and Kosinin were running from the IRS and the abrogation of 501c3s and 508c1s for patriotic groups. And so when we're targeted, as you're targeted, Schaefer Cox is targeted, Ted Stevens is targeted, and perhaps your other friend Rudy that was on here, we're all being targeted. Laurie Anderson's targeted. I know Rebecca Barrington's targeted. Anybody who's preaching the message of freedom and liberty, truth, the Creator, the light, and the actual truth is a danger to the, they call it the status quo, the powers that be. These people who are in control are so fearful of controlling, losing control, that they have vowed to destroy us by any means or schemes they can deem necessary or proper. Although it's diabolical and demonic, these dark forces, the synagogue of Satan, are the ones who are so scared of the truth and light, they will do anything to suppress, oppress, and to completely wipe it out. And that's what we're all experiencing, I think.
I agree. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because I tell you what, all the Satan does is piss me off. He certainly doesn't put fear in my heart. Oh, it's just absolutely incredible. These times are, we should have known when they hired the former head of the West German Soviet Stasi to consult with Homeland Security. I can't believe that they could so blatantly do that, and people didn't, alarm bells didn't just go off across the country. And then when I heard Schaefer Cox talking about the Liberty Bell emergency network of being able to pick up the phone and essentially Bundy style call the public awareness to any of these tyrannical moves. Boy, you want to wonder why he was targeted. He was a Paul Revere. He was the newest Paul Revere 2.0. I couldn't believe when I heard him.
As Lori is, absolutely. This is the oppression and suppression of the truth. These people who are doing this, that are inside the Department of Justice, inside the FBI, inside the NSA, this deep, dark state group of Hillary Clinton, Obama, Saul Alinskyite, radical revolutionary terrorist, these people who are really wanting to be Stalin-esque. In fact, the Department of Homeland Security is the Stasi, the SS, the Brown Shooters, the Gestapo here in America.
Yeah.
It's the central Sovietization of all law enforcement under one theocratic group. In fact, your previous speaker was speaking about religious per se execution. Because of a man's beliefs of his spiritual values, he is being exposed to more harsh punishment than anyone else. That is discriminatory. That is retaliatory, discriminatory, class-based animus to the max.
Yeah, I mean, they're so blatantly. I mean, what about the First Amendment do these people not get? And, you know, the funny thing is I know that they haven't been going by the real Constitution for a long time, but they're being so absolutely bold about overturning anything having to do with God. I mean, even we talked about in the Bundy situation, this thing keeps sticking in my mind. The Center for Biological Diversity, in its corporate mantra, it says we seek to undo man's dominion over the earth. It's like they took a line right out of the Bible that God, gave man dominion over the earth, and they seek to undo man's dominion over the earth. And they worded it just like they're not even hiding who they are anymore. They are blatantly and boldly satanic. And, I know that some people don't understand the concept of Protestant Christian Republic and religious freedom. But Satanism is not a religion, it's an anti-religion. There is no religious protection for Satanism in this country. In fact, quite the opposite. And for any of those people out there that would like to argue that point, I would love to resurrect a few of our founders and get them to sit down and have a little conversation with what they meant when they were talking about the right to free exercise of religion. That is the anti-religion. that they're talking about. It's the undoing of everything that we stood for, which is exactly what Karl Marx stands for. Mike, do you have that ready? Mike, are you there? The speech, the Schaefer-Cox speech. Yeah, I would like for our audience to listen. Look, we're talking about Schaefer-Cox, and we have a little bit of the background. I really want to share this man's words with you to see why he was so dangerous. Can you please roll that clip? Yep, that's it. Yeah, that's the one. The speech that got the feds to put him in jail. I think that's apropos for the moment. When you hear his words, you're going to understand why they saw him as being so dangerous to their totalitarianism.
Okay, Schaefer, come on up. Let's go. Okay, this is Schaefer-Cox. I'm going to let him introduce himself, okay? He does a better job of that. Here you go.
Let's all stand up and stretch a little bit, because I'm going to go for a long time. I was going to say stand up while you're clapping, but, you know, thought better of it. Okay, thanks. Where's Dean Porter? Oh, no. Let me see if I can open this. TSA might have messed it up, you know. I told him I wouldn't unlock this the last time I went through security. And they said, why not? And I thought, oh, shoot, my Constitution's in there. So I had to open it up to show him why not. Anyway, you know, we're going to hell in a freight train, you know. But it's okay to laugh about it a little bit here and there. And I want to talk about that for a second. Be real frank about that. I know why you guys are here. Okay? I know why you're here. You know what? I've been traveling all over the country. And Alaska's my favorite place. A lot of people there show up. But we're all here for the same reason. It's because we know in our gut that something is horribly wrong. You don't have to be told. Nobody told you that something was wrong. You know. Because you have a heart and a spirit and a mind that's perceptive to those things. And you got a sense. And you know when something bad is going on. And I don't know about you, I think I do know about you, but I'm going to tell you how I feel anyway. The way that I feel when I look around at this current debacle that we have and that's been building for years and years is I feel like there's just this huge power out there that's just incomprehensible, even to think about influencing it, let alone stopping it. And all I want is just to be free and to respect other people and have them respect me and to be protected by the law and do what I want, you know, and have freedom. That's all I want. And I don't know how to argue that from all the nitty-gritty statutes and everything like that. And I don't understand all the ins and outs of this giant monster that's coming our way and bulldozing over our freedom. But I feel in my gut a resentment, and I think that you identify with this, that you shouldn't have to understand all that stuff. You shouldn't have to understand all that stuff. And that our rights are rights, and we shouldn't have to buy our rights with hassle. We shouldn't have to you know, combat this giant monster with all this specialized knowledge and all this money and you know, win and get our rights. You know, you hear about these guys that fought the IRS or fought the ATF or anything like this, and they're like, yeah, I beat them. It took me 30 years and $17,000. And you're like, that sounds like a prison sentence. 30 years and $17,000. You know, who's the real winner here? You know, they got you. They just got you the other way. You know, you might have won, but you were dead right. That just makes me sick. And it makes a lot of people sick. And we know that our nation, you know, we feel that it's getting wobbly and it's worrying us. We see this looming power. We see these videos like we saw today that they can just lock you up for any reason without a phone call or nothing. You just disappear. And so we show up here. Why? Because we don't know what else to do. And what we get told so many times that feels like you got kicked in the teeth with a government-issued boot is all you can do is you can beg the tyrant to change. You can commit your life to a long, slow drudge uphill to try to reform this monster. And your heart just sinks. You're like, oh, gosh, is that really the price of freedom? Is that our only chance? Is to try to make go to Washington? What if I ran for office and I got elected? And I could go there to Washington where I can't have a gun and try to be a good influence on tyranny. You know? And people think, oh, I just, you know, it just makes your heart sink. And we come to these meetings and we leave here with this list that goes down to the floor of things that you can do, you know, and well, you keep begging them and you can keep kissing the ring and maybe they'll hear you if there's enough of us. Well, you know what? That doesn't really resonate with my spirit. And I can't really come out and say there's anything wrong with that stuff. But I tell you what, it doesn't make me jump out of my chair either. And I want to tell you, I just am really excited to tell you some pretty unconventional but pretty cool stuff that we've been pioneering in Alaska. Actually, you know what? We're not pioneering it because people throughout all of human history have done this. But we're pioneering it in human memory. There's nobody alive who really remembers this, at least not in this country. I can't wait to get to that. But first, I want to hit a couple of points about this giant monster that we're trying to reform, okay? I want to explain how it works and how they got us. So I'm young, I got good eyes, I can read my notes down there. All right. The first thing that we're up against that we've got to understand our enemy. And you got to, you know, be honest about who your enemy is. And that is anyone who would take away from us the freedoms that God gave us. Anybody who, when you ask them what their authority is, their only answer is, because I said so, is tyranny, and that's our enemy. We've got to recognize that. Now, that puts a lot of people in our enemy category, but you know what? That's okay. Let's first talk about the money situation. This is the main tool of tyranny. And this all comes down to legal theory, which I'm really excited to talk about because that's how we got so far off base in this country. All right? So that's what really allowed the monetary debacle to be here. But we got to understand the monetary debacle because it's the main tool. It really is the teeth of the beast. Here's how it works. All right? The Federal Reserve.
Here's the fire, folks.
Which is not federal or reserve. It's just a cooperative of private banks that are named after their best customer. Okay? They are allowed to print up money out of thin air, just print up trillions of dollars out of thin air, and loan that to the government, to the federal government, with interest. That's a pretty good gig for them. You know, they print up dollars, thin air, loan it to them at interest. We pay the interest. That's what our income tax is for, which was passed at the same time, 1913, on Christmas Eve. There's question even whether there was a proper quorum. But it was really shifty, and they kind of duped Woodrow Wilson into it because he was dupable, and they got it passed. Now, here's why that's so bad. You know, you might say, well, what's wrong with them printing up money out of nowhere? Well, here's how it works, okay? Dollars respond to the law of supply and demand, just like everything else does. When the number of dollars in existence goes up, the value of each one of those dollars goes down. Now, the value lost by the dollars that you held or the retirement that was in a fixed dollar amount that you're counting on or whatever, the value lost by your dollars is value transferred to whoever printed the new dollars, whether they're a counterfeiter or a federal government. That's why the Constitution says that no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. That is brilliant. You know why? Because you can't churn out gold and silver coins on a printing press. We would be better off even if they just actually printed them. They don't even actually print them now. They just email them. They just hold down that zero key until they've got enough money, and then they just send it off. And the enough value has to be robbed from our dollars that we worked hard for to make that email worth something, that they send to authorize people to spend those make-believe dollars into the economy. Now, what those dollars do is they go out into the economy, you know, and they bid up prices. So when people talk about the national debt and they're talking about this is something that our children are going to pay, that's not really quite accurate, you know. Our children and our grandchildren aren't necessarily going to pay that. What that's going to do, they're going to print up a bunch more money. It's going to destroy the value of the dollar. It's going to take more dollars to do the same amount of work, like I said, you know, that law of supply and demand. And prices are going to rise accordingly. And so when a Big Mac is $35, you're paying the national debt. Does that make sense? It's pretty sneaky. If they tried to raise taxes to match their spending, they'd have had a revolution a long time ago. But this is a way that they can tax us without us seeing it. Because the way it works is if they send you a bill, if you've got $100,000 in the bank and they send you a bill for $30,000, you know, 30%. Ooh, ouch. You've got to write them a check. But here's what they can do. They can, instead of sending you a bill, which you'd be hot and bothered about, they just print up the money and they reduce, you know, they get that money, and then that by them in expanding the money supply, everybody's bank account, the purchasing power, not the dollars, number of dollars in there, but the purchasing power of those dollars is reduced by 30%. So whether you wrote them a check for $30,000 or you had everything that's out on the market go up by 30%, they still robbed you of the ability to redeem your labor for a valuable good or service that you want. That's how they can tax you without you seeing it. Now, not only does this system weaken the individual in order to strengthen the federal government, but then here's where it gets really bad. They take that money and they turn around and they offer it back to the state or the local governments with strings attached. They say, the feds, with this stolen money from you, they say, we will give you this money if you will do this to the people in your state. And they say, okay, we'll do it. Now here's the principle. You work for whoever signs the checks. Now what this does is this is like a wrestling move where you change from being a republic to being an empire. In a republic, the people are at the top of the food chain, and the commands roll downhill from the people on down to the government, you know, and God gave every human being the right to life, liberty, and property, and a corresponding obligation to defend those rights as an individual and through the establishing of governments to do the same. So it's only reasonable that as a government gets further and further removed from those people, their power subsequently diminishes. That's how it works. That's the logical chain of command in a free society that's operating under the sound reasoning and rule of law. But you get that money flow reversed, where the Federal Reserve can take it right away from you, give it right to the feds. Boom, we're not a republic anymore, we're an empire, where the chain of command follows the flow of money. And all of a sudden, the most far away, the most distant, the most inaccessible to us of the governments is now on top, rather than us. And so what it basically is, to boil it down into real simple terms, is the government is robbing you and giving the state and local government a cut to cooperate. And they have figured out, and they do this in other countries too, watch it. They do it to us and they do it to other countries. They don't roll in here and try to boss you around and tell you how you're going to run your life. No. They buy your friends and make your friends do it. They buy our state. They bribe our state away from us and make our state do it. They give our sheriff's department a bunch of federal funding. And then when we go to the sheriff and we say, hey, sheriff, we elected you. You are very close to the source of authority, which is us. We want you to protect us from anybody who's going to trample on our rights, no matter what they call themselves, no matter how they're organized. We want you to do that, all right? And he says, ooh, I don't know. Those people you want me to protect you from make up a pretty considerable portion of our budget. And so you've got this sheriff with torn allegiance because we're no longer a free republic. We're a monetary inflationary empire. Does that make sense? Is that, you got that? That is huge. We've got to understand that. They've gone to great lengths to hide that from us. Now, I could go into, in fact, I will, because I want to be fair to the other side, even though I think it's totally bogus and you're going to hate it after I tell you. John Maynard Keynes, who was the socialist guru of the 50s, who was a big advocate for this inflationary system, what he said is he said, yes, I know that when you rob this money from people and then spend it back into the economy, yeah, it hurts them. But you know what? Overall, in general, it's good for us because the end justifies the means. And here's why. Because we take that money from them and then the government spends it into the economy. And what that does is that creates a frenzy of activity and more people pile on. And what that does then is it gets everybody all jizzed up and making money and working hard, and the end result is better. The end result is the average person is better off than if we hadn't robbed it from them and give the top another spin. That's the Keynesian model of economics. That is almost, get this, that is almost exclusively what they teach you in business school. And guess who funds business school? Guess who funds the educational, you know, system is those fiat dollars. Of course, they're not going to, you know, bash their method of funding. Now, just real briefly, what that actually does is it doesn't create investment when the government robs from you and spends it into the economy. It creates malinvestment because it is investment that has sprouted up around an artificial influx of government dollars rather than a natural demand in the market. And so people build their life and their business around this influx of government freshly stolen loot. And that stolen loot is fickle and it goes from place to place. But when they inject it into the economy, it creates a bubble, a stock bubble, a housing bubble, a tech bubble. All these bubbles that we've had, you can trace their funding to injected dollars. Now, why is this good for politicians? Because they can inject it where their friends are. They can inject it to where they need votes. They can inject it to where they need donors for their campaign. This is why the politicians like this system.
Folks, I think that you're getting a taste of exactly why Schaefer Cox was so dangerous. What a brilliant, articulate public speaker who was running for office, and had he won, had he gotten in, these folks would have been in serious trouble. And in a place like Alaska, he had a good chance at doing that. You know, in other places that we found, and even Bruce and I found it, it's near impossible unless you're ensconced into the old boys network to really and have a whole lot of money. And the insane and sickening part about running for office in most of these states is that you have to raise 20 times the amount of money than what the salary pays. You know, I think that there should be a restriction on campaign finance to be half of what you would make in office. How would they like that? We'll be back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio Broadcast, RTR Truth Media Reloaded on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back. Welcome to the place of the left's hypocrisy. Little pink houses for you and me. Welcome to the base.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio Broadcast. Resurrect the Republic Dirty Uncle Sam. RTR Truth Media Reloaded on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Tom Lacovara-Stewart, joined by Lori Anderson, Rudy Davis, Lori Texas 101, Chris Cave, and a partridge in a pear tree. Anyway, Rudy, I would like to share with our audience the address, how we can put money on Schaefer's books, and any other relevant information that you think that the public should have. I'd like to share that with them as soon as you have that up and available.
You bet, Tom. You want me to give the address now?
Yes, please. Folks out there, please do me a favor. Take a moment. Grab a pen or a pencil if you're not have a smartphone or something to take this information down. And if not, also, you can go to rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com, and a little bit past some writing I did on this, you'll find Rudy's links with the Schaefer, the advocacy website for Schaefer Cox is right there. But yeah, go ahead and give it to him now. They had a chance to grab a pen.
You bet. Thank you, Tom. Schaefer's main website is freeschaefer.com, and Schaefer is spelled S-C-H-A-E-F-F-E-R, freeschaefer.com. On that website at the top, you'll see various headings. One of them is how to donate to his books, commissary, or his legal fund, and there'll be various ways to do it. you know, there's various ways via Western Union. You can write a letter. I think, you know, there's a check. It'll take 30 days, but it will eventually be deposited on his books. There's also a legal defense fund. And so that's certainly a way to help Schaefer. Also, I recommend that everybody write a letter to Schaefer, not only to encourage him, let him know that we have not forgotten about him, and his address in a CMU prison. I don't know if we've got into CMU prisons much, Tom, but that's a whole nother story. I believe they are absolutely evil and wicked and should not be allowed on American soil. I think that those prisons, just like the video that you opened the segment on, were done without the oversight of Congress nor the funding of Congress, and I believe that the people running them are treasonous. But Schaefer's address in the secret prison is Francis Schaefer Cox, and then you have to put his prison number, number 16179-006. So that's Francis Schaefer Cox, number 16179-006. Underneath that is USP. That stands for United States Penitentiary, but you can just abbreviate USP Marion, M-A-R-I-N. I'm sorry, M-A-R-I-O-N. And then that's P.O. Box 1000. And that's in Marion, Illinois. And then the zip code is 62959. And Schaefer is one of the most transparent men I've ever met. You're going to hear a lot of things in the mainstream media. The SPLC has been working overtime to demonize him. And so I would ask, as anybody educates themselves about the case of Schaefer Cox and they run into these SPLC articles by biased news organizations, write Schaefer a letter and ask him your questions. He never fails to have the answer to any question I've ever asked him. I must have sent him over 300 letters and probably 1,000 emails. So he's very transparent, Tom, and he's an open book. He wants people to look into his case. He has nothing to hide. Tom, if you don't mind, I would like to share like four steps. It's kind of like the roadmap or the playbook of our enemy, and it involves FBI entrapment, of how they entrap Schaefer with a Hell's Angel. We call him the $300,000 whore, Gerald J.R. Olson. The reason we call him that is because when he testified on trial, he said that he expected to make $300,000 from his efforts to set up Schaefer Cox. Not only that, but he was looking at a life sentence of his own. And when he made a deal with an FBI to become an informant for Schaefer Cox or against Schaefer Cox, he expected to get out of his own jail time. We also have another FBI informant named Bill Fulton, who is writing a book, and he's a militaristic atheist, and he said one of his goals is to eradicate Christianity from the planet. These are the type of FBI informants that have been hired. So not only do we have the FBI entrapment, it is absolutely horrific. We have FBI entrapment, that's the first, I would call, phase one. Then they bring him to trial, and you have the DOJ prosecutorial misconduct that we talked about, withholding exculpatory evidence, destroying evidence, and using known perjured testimony. I don't want these names to go unsaid. We want these names to be held accountable. I would like to see them in a prison cell. Joseph Bottini, Stephen Scrocky, Attorney General of Alaska Karen Loeffler, Yvonne Lamour A., FBI Special Agent Sandra Klein, and FBI Special Agent Rick Sutherland. All of those people that I just mentioned need to be spending some serious time in a prison cell for their role in unjustly incarcerating Schaefer Cox. After they go through the kangaroo court and they get the false conviction, Tom, then they send them to a secret CMU prison that I just mentioned. From there, Schaefer is not allowed to make a phone call unless it's pre-approved 2 weeks in advance. He is live monitored, and he can only talk about pre-approved topics to someone that's on his pre-approved list. If he goes off topic or talks about anything that the prison does not allow, they'll immediately shut the phone down. He was not able to hug his daughter, which was born just before he went to prison for 6 years. People came and gathered together the money to send his mother with his two children, and for the first time he hugged his daughter in 6 years. It was a wonderful thing, but he needs to be out so that he doesn't have to wait another 6 years. His children are growing up without him. It is absolutely heartbreaking. So after they get him in a secret prison, Tom, where he's not able to communicate, then they demonize him in the media. You're going to see all these articles that he beat his wife. I have the pictures. She said that it was way overblown. He happens to have a mother-in-law that isn't his best friend. The mother-in-law blew something out of proportion, but the enemy has capitalized on that. We have the pictures from that night, and I would challenge anybody to look for a bloody lip, a bruised lip, any bruise whatsoever. You're going to hear a lot of things said about Schaefer as you educate yourself about the case. Go below the onion in what you read in mainstream media. Everything that they say about him that's negative, he has an answer for, and I believe that they targeted him because he was a juggernaut of liberty. And let me say this to Chris and Bruce, who is also on the call, and I've heard you two gentlemen speak some very wise wisdom. Other people that I know that speak like you are in prison, they have been tortured, or they have been killed. Let me give some examples. Ed and Elaine Brown have spent 10 years in prison. They spoke like you guys. Russell Landers, who is the Montana Freeman, he has spent 21 years in prison. And then we have Daniel Riley and Jason Gerhardt, and they have each spent 10 years in prison. Daniel Riley was offered by the FBI $3,000 to snitch out Ed and Elaine Brown, and he refused to do so. Even though we advocate for Schaefer Cox tonight, and God will get the glory, and I believe God will let Schaefer Cox out of that prison, I would ask everyone, including your audience, to remember that this is much bigger than Schaefer Cox. We have other innocent brothers and sisters in the Lord that have spent decades, if not 20 years in prison or more, that don't need to be there. And we've got a big problem on our hand, but is there not a cause? And we need to operate without fear, and we can defeat the enemy and give glory to God.
Oh, I'm completely with you, and that is what that's pretty much what this show and this media group, you know, I started this some years back, and Bruce Ray Riggs was instrumental in a lot of, you know, I had done quite a bit of research, but the research that Bruce had was just absolutely impeccable, and it led me down so many different roads, but all the roads seem to lead back to Rome, as they say. It all leads back to this unlawful jurisdiction that was thrust upon us immediately following, if not during, the Civil War with the Lieber Codes. And you know, it's the history is replete with people who have stood up and spoken out. The 1957 Georgia Memorial to Congress, they made all of this very clear. And there's been other patriots that have stood up, like James Traficant. He you know, a Democrat, and he stood up on the House floor and peeled open the bankruptcy of 1933 and the whole communist progressive of Federal Reserve push. You know, Ron Paul, of course, and you know that anybody with a Ron Paul bumper sticker or T-shirt or anything related to on their websites, we've all made it onto lists. Governor Ventura exposed that on his TV show. He had people come forward and find out that their names were on special watch lists for being Ron Paul supporters. This is insanity. These are literally, in my opinion, these are literally Satanists. They are following the way of Karl Marx. And, as many times as you sit down and try, I've tried to have these conversations with these people. I said, you know where this always leads? Oh, it's always going to be different. Even the ones that they have, these useful idiots, Stalin called them, these useful idiots that they have out there who, you know, if the shame of it is, the real truth of it is, I've met a lot of these environmental folks, and a lot of them on the grassroots level have big hearts, and they have a lot of love and compassion and empathy, but they're being used by entities like the Center for Biological Diversity, who really, their goal isn't to preserve and protect the environment. Their goal is Marxism. That's what their goal is. The green is the new red, in my opinion. They're using, just like they like a tick on a hound's butt, they attach themselves onto these, what they call marginalized classes, and they infect them with Marxism, and then come to find out, you know, 20, 30 years later, these so-called leaders in these marginalized communities have done nothing for their communities, nothing at all but use them to propel this satanic Marxist agenda that is destroying this country. And I tell you, you know, this isn't a warning. Jordan B. Peterson, a professor up there at University of Toronto, made this very clear when he was sitting there talking with a bunch of these transgender folks. He said, look, your actions are bringing out of the recesses a very, very potent enemy. And they're like, oh, well, you're threatening us. And he's like, no, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Where history is repeating itself, the same thing that happened in Nazi Germany. What do you think happened to the German, the Weimar Republic? What do you think happened in Germany? It was infected and ensconced by Marxists. A lot of people just don't know the real history because there's a lot of propaganda that covers a lot of it up. You know, a lot of times people who have referred to censorship refer to Hitler, oh, you want to be a book burner. I don't think they really understand what books that were being burnt in Germany during those book burning endeavors. They were mostly Marxist material because Marxism had infected Germany and destroyed it from within, destroyed its economy, destroyed the morality, and it left it this environment that the National Socialists used to propel themselves to power. Because there was an obvious need to attack this evil. So then you have a group of half of the people who probably wanted all of the right things, and then at the power structure at the top of it, you had a bunch of occultists who, I mean, these people are Hegelian in nature. They will create the problem to become the solution. And you see the same thing happening right in front of our face. This is why they've gone out in front of us with this whole Nazi rhetoric. If you're a constitutional conservative, stand for the Constitution, you're a Nazi. You're a Nazi. They're doing that for a reason, because the people like Soros that are funding these groups, they know exactly what they're bringing on. They know. Soros was there. He was a sellout. He went and collected Jewish property during World War II, being a Jew. And I saw an interview with him and said, you know, do you have any remorse? Do you feel bad? No, not at all. If I wouldn't have done it, somebody else would have. This is the mentality of these people. They do not know history, and they are doomed to repeat it. And Stalin called them useful idiots, because as soon as the Iron Curtain around the United States is fully closed, they're going to go out and they're going to shoot all these people in the head. They don't even realize, because once they become disenchanted and disillusioned, I mean, they even whacked Trotsky. You know what I mean? Trotsky was the leader of the Red Army. What did they do when he wasn't convenient anymore? Stalin had him executed. I mean, these people, they're following the Pied Piper, and they're going to follow him right off the cliff. The only way to counter this is not with any socialist movement, is not even with the nationalist movement, although I'm not opposed to nationalism to a point for certain circumstances. The only way that we're going to do this is, I'm telling you folks out there, it's time to repent. It's time to give your life to something better. It's time to give your life to truth, to honor, to what's right, to advocating for people who have been wrongfully incarcerated in prison, to follow the tenets that this republic was founded upon. That's I mean, I'll get off my soapbox, but I mean, this is the only way forward. We've got to stand for what's right without fear.
Amen, amen, Tom. You know, exactly what they said in Gideon's army. When the Lord was leading Gideon, he said, get rid of the folks that have fear. You read the Bible verse earlier, Judges 7:3. Fear is contagious. It's infectious. Fear will make you rat out your brother. Fear will make you call the IRS on your friend. We got to get rid of our fear. And I'll tell you another thing that's contagious, and that is courage. They say when a brave man stands up and does what's right, that the backbones of others get stiffened, and we need infectious courage to take a wave across this country, and we need men to do what's right, regardless of the consequences, and to put their trust in something higher than what their eyeballs see. And Schaefer was one of those men. When Schaefer stood up and charismatically promoted the truth, and it was infectious in Alaska, they had to shut him up. But I think God is working something bigger here, and I think we are on trial. God, you know, they say in the Bible, you know, I was John B. Wells with Caravan to Midnight was reporting on Schaefer, and he says, well, you know, the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun, that, you know, good men have always been put in prison. I said, the difference is, Tom, that we are here, right? Yes, good men have always been put in prison throughout all histories, but that's not an excuse for us to sit on the couch and watch television as our brothers and sisters are being tortured in a secret prison. The difference is you and I are here, and what are we going to do about it, and how will we live eternity as we look back on our lives? And thank God that there are some people that are not going to compromise and not kiss the ring and bow the knee to Baal.
Yeah, that's it, and that's exactly who it's to Baal. You got that. You hit that nail right on the head. The black robe priests of Baal. That is exactly what these judges have become. You know, I started criticizing. Eric Hughes is one of our co-hosts, and he always used to call, you know, when I first got here, first got out of the prison, you know, he would refer to these judges as the witch's court. And I asked him to tone that down a little bit because, you know, I didn't want to go there. I've tried not to insult, right? But this isn't insulting. This is what it is. This is what it is. When you have a federal agency that uses informants that deliberately and willfully and openly detest Christianity and advocate its destruction, and you use people like that that are so richly ideologically biased to take somebody out and take them down, even if you were not a card-carrying Satanist, you have attached yourself to evil, and you have sold your soul to the devil. You have sold your soul to evil by even being associated with that kind of dishonor. And that's exactly what it is. It's absolute and complete dishonor. You know, we're made to. I was raised from the time that I was a kid to respect to a point authority, but my father. God love him and God bless him. There was a man, his name was Nippy. He had a steak joint, right? And I don't know what brought him on the radar of the ATF. But this guy came in and he was like a hobo, right? He didn't have any money and he was hungry. And Nippy would give you the shirt off his back, right? So he fed this guy. And this happened a few times and the guy said, look, all I have is this gun. It's all I have that's worth anything. I can't keep taking your food. Please, you know, will you take this gun and trade? Nippy wanted the guy to save some face. Nippy didn't need a gun any more than he needed another car or another house. He didn't need it. But he wanted to have this. He wanted this guy to hold his head up. This is exactly what he relayed to my father. And as soon as he did, he was raided. The ATF came running in, arrested him, tried destroying his business, tried destroying his life. If it weren't for my father, Nippy probably would have went to prison. But my father went ballistic, and he was a judge at the time in this jurisdiction. Back in the days where when you were a local judge, you actually had some pull and could make your own decisions before all of the mandatory this, mandatory that. And my father just, he was fit to be tied. He told them if they ever came back into his town that they'd find themselves underneath the prison. You know, and it opened my eyes then. Then the IRS with my grandfather's business. My grandfather had 40 employees, and a couple weeks before Christmas, they said that he owed tax money to the IRS that he didn't believe that he owed. He would have liked a hearing, but it was either pay up or they were going to chain the door. Well, he had a deadline to Friday. He pulled up in the parking lot on a Wednesday before the Friday. He had collected all the money he needed to pay the IRS, and he found chains on the door and his workers standing out in the lot with the IRS agent out there. And he's like, I have your money. He said, oh, it's too late. And basically the IRS agent said, you know, I'm going on vacation and you had up until a certain day. We extended you. He said, but you told me on the phone that I had till Friday. He said, yeah, I lied. And my grandfather looked at him and he said, how do you sleep at night? You're putting 40 people out of work right before Christmas. How do you sleep at night? He said, oh, not only am I going to sleep well tonight, I'm taking my wife out to dinner because I'm getting a bonus. Gets in his car and leaves. That's what happened to my grandfather. You know, and this has been going on for years and years. And I tell you what, we need 100 Schaefer Coxes. We need 100 of them We need 1,000 of them. People, stop sitting by your keyboards. Being keyboard warriors aren't. It's just not getting it. It's time to do something about it, to speak out, run for office, do the things that Schaefer Cox was doing. Go ahead, Bruce.
Let me tell you how I beat the IRS. They tried to audit me. Did I tell you?
No, go ahead.
I won $113,000 in the Florida lottery. It took out $28,500 for taxes. I filed to get that money back. A year and a half later, they never gave it to me. I got a letter in the mail saying I was being audited. I called the IRS, and I went up and up and up and talked to an attorney. The attorney asked me why I haven't paid income tax since 1988. I told him, well, I have a little scenario that kind of leads to two questions, and if you can answer them, that will explain everything. I said, isn't the IRS a branch of the isn't the IRS a branch of the U.S. Treasury? And he goes, yes, sir, it is. I said, isn't the U.S. Treasury a branch of the United States government? And he goes, yes, sir, it is. I says, well, I found in statute at large 41, page 654, the laws of the 66th Congress from 1919 to 1921, where in 1920, the 66th Congress gave the United States Treasury to the Federal Reserve Bank. And I says, and I've researched up to present date, and I can't find any book or page where they've returned that to Congress. So that means either the U.S. Treasury is perpetrating fraud by claiming to be a part of the United States government, or they own the entity also. Can you tell me which one it is? And he said he would call me back tomorrow. He's going to look at, and then I got, and you know, he called my accountant, Mr. Parrott, instead of me, and he gave me an interest check, and he said he's releasing all my money. That's been 3 years ago, and I never paid him any money since, because they never could tell me what book and page were the, one of my questions was, what book and page can you tell me that I can look at to show me where the U.S. Treasury was given back to Congress? I've seen where it had DUN numbers in 1927 where it was incorporated in Delaware, but I never seen where they gave it back to Congress. Can you give me that book and page, please? Oh, and if I owe the government money, I'll pay them. But right now, I'd rather pay Wells Fargo because they get real pretty horses if I was going to donate money to a private bank.
Oh, Bruce, I miss you. You got to come on more often. Fred, we have Fred on the line. I want to give him a chance to jump in real quick. Is Fred still with us?
Hi, Tom, brother. Can you hear me okay?
I can, Fred. Oh, it's so good to hear your voice, my friend.
Well, I'm going to just talk for a little bit, and then I'm going to get off. But we can't all be missionaries or evangelists. But what we can do is we can support missionaries and evangelists. And what that means, and what I'm saying is financially help these people. But what you've heard tonight on this show, and I think this is one of the most extraordinary, outstanding shows I have ever heard in 4 years on RBN. Now, all the people that you've heard tonight are not wealthy. But we can help them out. We don't have to have billions and billions. But when we support leaders and missionaries and evangelists, such as the people that you've heard tonight, they advocate, or what comes from this is courage. And let's hope we can make courage contagious. And help these people as much as you can. And that's all I got to say. I love you, brothers. All
I love you too, Fred. I thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for that. And folks out there, if you want to support this network, you want to support this broadcast, go to paypal.me/RTR Truth Media. We would appreciate it. It does keep the lights on and keep things going. But more importantly for tonight, go to those Schaefer Cox links and support our brother, Schaefer. He needs our support, and send him your letters. God bless all of you. Thank all of you for joining us tonight. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio Broadcast. Resurrect the Republic Dirty Uncle Sam. RTR Truth Media Reloaded on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
disfiguring.